I'm Duarte Geraldino. Tanzina Vega is on maternity leave. You are listening to The Takeaway. Good to have you here with me. And this week, the Federal Reserve cut interest rates by a half a percentage point. That's a dramatic move. We haven't seen a cut like that since 2008. After days of a hectic stock market roller coaster, the Fed is trying to boost spending and counteract a possible coronavirus-fueled economic downturn. But what this cut means for you and the economy is still not clear. Patricia Sobga's work focuses on the global economy and geopolitics. She's also the managing business editor for Al Jazeera Digital. Welcome to The Takeaway, Patricia.
Thank you for having me.
So how are financial markets responding to the Fed's rate cuts?
They actually responded in a rather counterintuitive way. And it was literally as if Jerome Powell, the Fed chairman, had put on his superhero cape and he swooped down on the markets and he bestowed this gift of a surprise rate cut. As you said, 50 basis points, which is a half a percentage point cut. That's a dramatic and deep cut. And what made it all the more dramatic is that it was also a surprise. It happened between scheduled meetings. That's also something that we haven't seen since 2008. Now, part of this cut was really aimed not only at shoring up the economy against all the fears and the possible fallout of the coronavirus outbreak, but it was also geared towards psychology. The Fed was sending a message, telling the markets, telling investors, telling businesses, and even consumers, hey, we're here and we're ready to pull the trigger and do what it takes and what is within our mandate to help buoy the economy against whatever coronavirus might throw at it.
But what else can they do aside from these rate cuts? Is there anything else the Fed can do, or is that the only trick in their toolbox?
There are various other tools that at their disposal that they can use. But let's be clear here. Monetary policy is a blunt instrument, and fighting coronavirus will take more than just that. It will also take fiscal policies, and it will take other government policies to help businesses and industries that are negatively impacted as global supply chains slow. And one thing that the Fed chairman also mentioned yesterday during his press conference is that we're already seeing some of the effects. We're seeing effects in the travel and tourism industries, and business leaders are telling the Federal Reserve and all the politicians in Washington, hey, we're already starting to feel the effects of this, especially those businesses that rely on supply chains, materials, for example, out of China that have been slowed. And of course, China is the epicenter of the outbreak where it all started.
So late in the day yesterday, bond yields also dropped. What message are bond market investors sending us?
Well, if you're a consumer and you have a mortgage or a student loan, really the bond markets are telling you to take heart because the yield on the 10-year Treasury, yields and prices move in opposite directions, by the way, the yield on the 10-year Treasury dropped below 1% for the first time ever. That is fantastic news for anybody who has a mortgage or a student loan that is actually linked or adjustable to interest rates, because the 10-year Treasury is the benchmark for those financial products. The other signal that it's sending, though, is that investors are very nervous about what the future will hold, and they're very uncertain, because during times of uncertainty, you get what they call a flight to quality or safe havens. And traditionally, safe havens are seen as assets that will hold their value as other riskier assets like stocks lose value. So a safe haven would be, for example, gold, which is the perennial safe haven. U.S. treasuries are a huge safe haven because they're backed by the full faith and guarantee of the U.S. government. So investors like to go to U.S. treasuries when times are uncertain. And certain currencies, select currencies, also tend to get a boost as well. You've got the U.S. dollar, of course, which is the global reserve currency, and also Swiss francs and Japanese yen.
So if we could focus on the consumer right now, how is the consumer supposed to respond to the interest rate cut and the thinning bond yields? What's the consumer's angle right now?
Well, right now, consumers may not be aware of what's happening. They'll have to wait for these moves in the market to filter through into their financial products, and also for the Fed's rate cut to filter through to those adjustable rate products, such as mortgages. But the consumers also have to be aware that it's not as if one thing happens in the economy and they're not affected if they don't have a mortgage or a loan. This is really the economy as an ecosystem. So one of the reasons the Fed is doing this is because they anticipate that we'll get slowdowns in other areas. For example, you can be a consumer and you might have your job in the services sector. Well, if the coronavirus ends up keeping a lot of people at home, those service-based industries may suffer and they may see a fall off in business, which means they may have to cut back hours for certain workers. So if you are a consumer whose job is linked to the services industries that are negatively impacted by coronavirus, then you might be feeling some pain. You really have to look at the big picture and at the ecosystem of the U.S. economy and really the global economy to position yourself wisely.
And speaking about the global economy, I know a lot of your work focuses on geopolitics. Internationally, what has been the response to the Fed's rate cut in the shadow of the coronavirus?
Well, really, the Federal Reserve, and of course, Jerome Powell said this yesterday, he didn't make this cut in a vacuum. Of course, he's mandated by Congress to always act in the best interests of the U.S. economy, but he does speak with central bankers around the world. They're all very aware of this. And indeed, the day before the rate cut, many central banks were signaling that they are at the ready. They are ready to use the tools at their disposal to help counter the negative fallout from the coronavirus. And of course, Jerome Powell heads arguably the most powerful central bank on the planet, because the dollar is the reserve currency.
And very briefly, how will this impact international spending?
Well, globally spending, you have to look at it this way. When times are uncertain, people tend to rein in their spending. If people are being forced to stay home, or if they have a self-imposed quarantine, even they don't feel like going out as much because they're concerned about coronavirus, they're not going to be spending as much. And don't forget, especially in developed economies, consumer spending, that is the engine of growth. In the United States, for example, consumer spending accounts for 2/3 of U.S. economic growth. It's really the power of the U.S. consumer that has kept the United States economy on track and that propels it forward. So really, you have to keep consumers feeling confident about the economy. You want to make sure that businesses feel confident about the economy. But that's very difficult when you have a coronavirus outbreak and there are so many question marks hanging over it.
Thank you so much. Patricia Sabga is Managing Business Editor for Al Jazeera Digital. Thanks, Patty.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.